This is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. The Austin Independent School District will announce in September which schools it plans to consolidate in response to declining enrollment. At the end of this process, schools will be closed. Attendance boundaries could be changed and emotions will be strong. As KUT's Claire McInerney reports, to understand why the issue is so delicate, you need to understand the history of what Austin went through for decades.
Closing schools is a dramatic move, but it's one the district says it has to make. As more families move out of the city because of affordability or choose charter schools, enrollment has been dropping. So now the superintendent and the school board say it's too expensive to keep all these buildings open when they're under-enrolled. We have no idea how dramatic the changes will be, but here's what district leaders have promised. If they close schools, they'll have more money to improve academics and the quality of remaining buildings, and they won't close schools in just one part of town. This is sparking a lot of conversation. Kimberly Keaton is the African-American archivist at the Austin History Center, and she says as the school closure decision approaches, it's important to understand the city's history.
But in order to communicate, you got to know something. And if you don't know your history, it does not matter from what angle you're coming from.
So let's learn our history. A logical place to start is Austin's 1928 master plan. Back then, the city hired consultants to create a plan that would overhaul the city's infrastructure, zoning practices, and public services. Here's Keaton again.
It's a document that has coded language that talks about the beautification of Austin. It's coded with regards to African American, Hispanic, and Hispanic communities to say we're helping them.
The consultants expressed concern about what they called the, quote, race segregation problem. Keaton says this was an issue because at the time, a recent Supreme Court ruling said cities couldn't zone neighborhoods by race. But the city wanted to do that because they wanted the black people living downtown to leave.
So Austin and cities across the South started developing new policies to isolate minorities, which here comes the 1928 master plan, which I think has affected everything within Austin, Texas, and present day.
The solution included in this plan? If black and Latino people wanted running water, sewers, schools, parks, or any city service, they needed to move to one part of the city, the part of town east of what's now I-35. The segregation that resulted lasted decades. The plan also deemed one part of town as cheap land, which does affect us now, like Keaton said, because less than 100 years later, developers looked at this so-called cheap land and started building new housing and restaurants. The 1928 plan paved the way for our current gentrification. So for decades, the city was segregated, including the schools. Then, in 1954, the Supreme Court ruled in Brown v. Board, saying schools needed to integrate. But that ruling didn't mean much in Austin right away, says Roxanne Evans, a former education reporter for the Austin American Statesman.
And you have to remember, Texas being Texas, Texas believed that state law sometimes trumped federal law. So there was kind of a lag in when Texas accepted that they would have to comply with Brown v. Board.
That lag lasted decades. Throughout the rest of the 50s and through the 60s, AISD made little effort to integrate schools. On paper, students could attend any school they wanted, but very few people were actually enrolling in schools outside of their neighborhoods. By the early 70s, the federal government started suing Austin ISD. And once the courts got involved, some significant changes happened. One was the district closed Keeling Middle School and Anderson High School, two all-black schools. That essentially forced those students of color to find another school. Then, Evan says, one-way busing began.
One-way busing basically meant that students, predominantly African-American students, were bused out of their neighborhoods away from their segregated schools to schools elsewhere in Austin.
But that didn't satisfy the courts. AISD was forced to do more to get children of different races to attend school together. So in 1980, they went from busing just kids of color to sending students of all races to schools outside their neighborhoods. Many people protested this kind of crosstown busing. Roxanne was covering all of this for the Statesman.
Yeah, it was a very emotional time because on the surface, some people tried to portray it as, you know, all African Americans wanted to keep crosstown busing and everyone else didn't. And, you know, some Hispanics, some did, some didn't. But it wasn't quite that simple.
She says she talked to parents who saw it as the only way their child would get a good education. Others didn't like it because their children weren't being welcomed at previously all-white schools. And many people just hated their kids being on long bus rides. For most of the 80s, this two-way busing was the norm in AISD. Then, in 1987, the school board voted to end it. The courts found the district had finally done enough to encourage integration, 33 years after Brown v. Board. But the integration didn't stay. Roxanne says with the vote in 1987, the district ended up creating 16 schools with students from only one race. And that partially set AISD up for what's happening now.
That now when I look at the schools that are under-enrolled and low-performing, they tend to be those same schools.
9 of those 16 elementary schools are under-enrolled right now. 1 is already closed.
But what I underestimated is that once those schools were identified as one-race schools, that meant that a lot of people were not eager to send their children there because of the perception that if it's an all-black school, it can't really be a good school. If it's an all-brown school, do we really want our children there? So, you know, it was sort of the beginning of the end for many of those schools that were identified in 1987 as being single-race schools.
Letitia Anderson was one of those kids who rode a bus from East Austin to West Austin to go to school in the 80s. She's now a mom to a middle school son and a school board member representing much of East Austin. She's thinking a lot about her own experiences as she's about to make a decision for others.
You know, I'm encouraging my board members and the superintendent to really look at history and see what it has done to those of us who have came through it.
She's in favor of the board making district-wide changes to make sure every one of the 80,000 students in AISD can have similar opportunities. But she wants the board to honor history. One of the more controversial options is changing school boundaries. And Letitia Anderson is fine with this, but only if the district acknowledges there's work that has to happen to make sure all students feel welcome at schools. The pushback she's heard to potential boundary changes reminds her of the conversations she heard as a kid, when people were protecting their neighborhood schools from black kids, Latino kids, or poor kids from being bused in.
But to hear adults talk like that about students, like, it's sad. It's sad that, you know, we as a people cannot do the best for all kids. You know, it's, well, those kids and our schools, like, what does that mean? Like, or do you think you're the only one that pay taxes in the city?
Again, AISD has said it won't close schools or change boundaries in just one part of the city. And Anderson hopes that is one way to avoid mistakes of the past. Back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the courts forced the district to strive for equality. Now, the district says it's taking that upon itself. Claire McInerney, KUT News.